What is the great need for our children today? Listen to Adrian Rogers.
I'm telling you, folks, it's a minefield out there. It is dangerous. And do you know the great need today is not billions of more dollars? It's some godly mamas and some godly daddies who, in spite of the King's commandment, they say there's also the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and I'm trusting Him, and I'm going to raise up a godly seed, and I will not be afraid. And I want to encourage you to take a stand of faith. Get in the Word of God. Claim your children for Jesus Christ.
Welcome to Love Worth Finding, and thank you for studying in God's Word with us today. As pastor, teacher, and beloved husband and father Adrian Rogers once said, the most influential people on earth are mothers and fathers of faith. And this Mother's Day weekend, we're taking a look at one powerful example of this from the Old Testament. Jochebed was a Hebrew slave and mother of Moses, whose faith saved her son and eventually an entire people. Hebrews 11 reveals five things about Jochebed's faith that remain true for mothers of faith everywhere. If you have your Bible, turn there now, beginning in verse 23, as Adrian Rogers reveals the victory of a mother's faith.
Would you take God's Word and be finding, please, Hebrews chapter 11? We're talking today on this subject, the victory of a mother's faith. And in case you missed the message, I'm going to put it in one sentence before we do anything else. The most powerful and influential people on earth are mothers of faith. That's it. Listen to it again. The most powerful and influential people on earth are mothers of faith. I want you to read with me, please, in Hebrews chapter 11, about a wonderful woman and her husband. Her name was Jochebed, and that name Jochebed means Jehovah is glorious. It's a beautiful name. She was married to a man named Amram. They were just really a couple of Hebrew slaves, and no one would have ever have heard from about them except God put them in His Word, in His Bible, and they ended up in God's Hall of Fame. In Hebrews chapter 11, just insignificant Hebrew slaves, but they raised a son that changed the world. They were the parents of Moses, and they did it by faith. Look in verse 23, by faith. Just underscore that. That's the key of the whole chapter, by faith. Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child. And they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Remember again, the most powerful and influential force on earth are mothers of faith. Five things I want you to notice with me as we look at this passage. The very first of these is what I want to call faith's vision that sees a promise from God. Now, in verse 23, it says they saw they had a proper child. That's translated a goodly child, a beautiful child. In Acts chapter 7, he is called a fair child. But he was a beautiful baby boy. And the mothers looked at him, and they looked at him through the eyes of faith. The Bible says that when they laid their eyes upon him, they did it with faith. And that's what we ought to do with all children. Children need to be received and looked upon as beautiful, as gifts of God by faith. Moses' parents, Amram and Jochebed, had faith for little Moses because they saw he was a goodly child. Every baby is a goodly child, not just Moses. Every baby is special to God.
And let me say, there are no illegitimate babies, just illegitimate parents. Every baby is special to God. Every baby is a gift of God and a masterpiece of Almighty God. They are beautiful. And thank God for your child. And you need to pray over your child and look at your child through the eyes of faith and get a vision for that child and never, never, never let it go. Sometimes children are so exasperating. A father and his son were having one of those discussions, and the son said to the father, "Well, I didn't ask to be born into this family." And the dad said, "Well, if you had have asked, the answer would have been no." I think sometimes we feel that way. But we need to see that they are beautiful. They are gifts of God. They saw that he was a proper child. That's faith's vision that gets a promise from the Word of God. Mine is found in Psalm 112, verses 1 and 2. Now, here's the second thing I want you to see. Not only faith's vision, but faith's venture that acts upon the promise of God. You see, that turns a promise into action. Look again in verse 23. Look at it. The Bible says, "By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of or by his parents." Now, what had happened is this, that the cruel king of Egypt, whose description was Pharaoh, had decreed that every little boy baby that was born of the Hebrews was to be drowned in the River Nile. Told all the midwives, when the baby comes out of the womb, if it's a boy, he has a death sentence upon him. Well, Amram and Jochebed didn't know whether they were going to have a little boy or a little girl. But when they saw it was a little boy baby, they said, "We cannot let our baby die. We cannot let our baby be drowned." So they went against the king's commandment, and they hid the child as long as they could, which was 3 months. They sequestered little baby Moses away and hid the child. Now, here's the point. They had faith, but their faith led to action. Do you know what James said? James, the Apostle James, said, "Faith without works is dead." Don't tell me that you have faith for your child if you're not doing something to preserve and protect your child. The vision must be turned to the venture. You must do something. You must act upon it. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6, "Train up a child in the way that he shall go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it." Now, the word train means to discipline, to shape, to drill, to do what you can do, not only to teach the child, but to instill by training into that child what that child needs to do and be, which Moses' parents did, as we're going to see later on. But the point is that real faith is belief with legs on it. It does something. Faith without works is dead. Now, what they could have done is just said, "Well, we'll just see what happens. Lord, we're just trusting you." That's not faith. That's fatalism. That's fatalism. And today we have that philosophy. Well, you don't have to pray over your children or guide them or discipline. After all, they're all just inherently good. Just let the little rosebud unfold. The little rosebud will unfold to black your eye. You need to work and to train and discipline. Have you ever watched a man train a hunting dog? He doesn't read to that dog. He gets the dog out in the woods and trains that dog. We need to learn how to train our children. Some men spend more time training the dogs than they do the children. Then they tie the dog up at night, let the kids run wild. It's amazing. We need to train them. I played football. How do you learn to play football? By watching others play football, you can learn some. By listening to the coach, you can learn some. But the way that you learn to play football is on the training field, in practice. You see, you can teach them what is right, and they go off to school and somebody else can teach them something else. And you say, "Well, I just don't understand. I thought we taught him right for wrong." Question: did you train your child? Did you train your child? Training remains in a child. It begins very early. A little boy was riding around and around and around the block. Somebody said, "Son, what are you doing?" The little kid was on his tricycle. Wasn't even old enough for a bicycle, just going around and around the block. He said, "I am running away from home." I said, "But you're just going around and around the block." He said, "Yes, Mama won't let me cross the street." Well, I like that. I like that. See, even in the earliest ages, even when rebellion comes up, there is the restraint of that training that is put in the heart and mind by the parents. So, watch it. Faith's vision, they saw he was a proper child. Faith's venture, they hid him, they did something. They didn't just have fatalism, they didn't have fanaticism. They didn't throw him in the River Nile and say, let's trust God to take care of him. But they had faith, faith that acts, and faith that works. Now here's the third thing I want you to see, and this is so very important. Faith's vision and faith's venture led to faith's valor. Faith's valor. Look, if you will, in verse 23. And the Bible says here in verse 23, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. Now, those were desperate days in which they lived. How would you like to be slaves? How would you like to live in a nation where there was a cruel despot who did not know the God of Israel? How would you like to live where it was by royal decree that little boy babies were to be put to death? How would you like to live then? Those were dark days. And yet the Bible says that Amram and Jochebed were not afraid. They were full of valor. Why were they not afraid? Well, the only reason they were not afraid is they knew God, and they knew the Word of God, and they knew that God had promised that He was going to deliver His people by the blood of the Lamb. They knew this. And in 400 years they were coming out of Egypt, they had the Word of God, and therefore they were not afraid. Now, I want to tell you this. If I did not have the Word of God, if I did not know what I know from God's Word, I would be a pessimist today, and I believe you would too. And I would be afraid to bring children into this world if I did not know God. But because I know God, I am free and glad to encourage you to have children. Don't ever let the devil intimidate you as a child of God from bringing children into this world. Sometimes people say, well, Pastor Rogers, the situation is so bad, so grave, so dangerous today. Do you think that we even ought to have children? Yes. Yes. God's people above all people are the ones who ought to be bringing a godly seed into this world and raising up children. And don't you be afraid. Now, the Bible says in the last days, perilous times will come. And that word perilous is translated only, used only one other time in the New Testament. And it's translated there exceedingly fierce. And these are exceedingly fierce days. And I am concerned for little children, little boys and girls who don't have mamas of faith and daddies of faith. I'm telling you folks, it's a minefield out there. It is dangerous. And do you know the great need today is not billions of more dollars? It's some godly mamas and some godly daddies. It's some mothers of faith and some fathers of faith who, in spite of the king's commandment, they say there's also the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and I'm trusting Him, and I'm going to raise up a godly seed, and I will not be afraid. And I want to encourage you to take a stand of faith, and in spite of all of these things, don't get stampeded. Get in the Word of God. Claim your children for Jesus Christ. Faith's vision. They saw he was a proper child. Faith's venture. They did something about it. They hid little Moses, and we're going to show you in a moment they did more. Faith's valor. They were not afraid of the king's commandment. And then faith's victory. Notice in verse 24, by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Well, how did that get in there? How did Pharaoh's daughter get into this thing? Well, Moses' mother came to the place where she knew she couldn't hide him any longer. How long can you hide a little baby? So she conceived by the Holy Spirit a plan. That was to make a little basket called an ark out of bulrushes. She waterproofed it as best she could, made it soft, took her precious little three-month baby and put him in that basket. It was an incredible plan, and put it down there by the river's edge in the bulrushes, just floating there. And would you know what happened? Why, upon a time, Pharaoh's daughter came along, and she asked her entourage to stop. She wanted to go down to the River Nile to bathe. Now, can you imagine this?
Friend, excavations have shown the palaces of Egypt. The most lavish baths that you can imagine were in the palaces of Egypt. And yet she decides she wants to bathe in the dirty Nile. Why would she do that? Well, divine providence, really. Maybe she remembered, the Holy Spirit reminded her of the time when she used to play in the River Nile, the old swimming hole or whatever, but she stops and she goes down there and she goes just to one particular spot. The River Nile is very big, but she goes to one particular spot and there's the little baby. And then the Bible says, and behold, the babe wept. Now, it wasn't a safety pin. An angel just went down in and tweaked that baby just like that and caused the baby to cry. I believe that something happened, that the baby cried at just the right moment. And the princess picked it up, and God sent a bonding there between the princess and that little baby. She held it there, and her motherly instincts began to work. And Moses' sister was standing over there, Miriam. And Miriam said, if you'd like to keep that baby, I know a nursing mother who'd be happy to take it and raise it for you. And the princess said, would you go get her? And so here comes Jochebed. And Pharaoh's daughter says to Jochebed, I've got a little baby here. If I paid you, would you raise this child for me if I paid you? She said, yes, I believe I would. If you pay me, I'll raise this baby for you. And Moses is turned back on to his own mother. You talk about God's sense of humor. God used a little ark to be a battleship to sink old Pharaoh's kingdom. And Pharaoh paid for his education, paid his room and board, paid his nursemaid, paid his tuition in college, paid the whole thing, and this is faith's victory. I want you to see how God is moving heaven and earth. God is moving heaven and earth because a mother and a father know how to believe God and to get hold of God and to raise a child by faith. It is a victory, a wonderful victory that God gave. And so here, Moses' mother holds little Moses in her arm and begins to sing lullabies to him and whisper scripture verses into his ear. And here a little, there a little, line upon line, precept upon precept, she is teaching him the Word of God. And the Bible says, then when he came to his own, God had engineered through a mother's faith, a faith in the heart of Moses. And that brings me to the last thing I want to talk to you about. I've talked to you about faith's vision. They saw he was a proper child. Faith's venture, they hid him. I've talked to you about faith's valor. They were not afraid of the king's commandment. I've talked to you about faith's victory, how God preserved the life of that child. But now I want you to think about faith's values. Faith's values. Look, if you will, at Moses' values in verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. Now look at this. Look at this. We're talking about faith's values. I want you to look at some words. Look, if you will, in verse 27. We're going to take this and work backward to its source. By faith, he forsook Egypt. Now, that's something. By faith, he forsook Egypt. Now, what was Egypt? Egypt was the most powerful dynasty on the face of the earth. He was in line for the throne. He would have been the next Pharaoh. Can you imagine what he would have had? The power, the possessions, the prestige. He forsook Egypt. Well, why did he forsake Egypt? Because he chose. He chose, in verse 25, to suffer affliction with the people of God. Now, why did he choose to suffer affliction with the people of God? Well, look in verse 26. He esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. Now, the word esteem here has an idea of reckoning. He'd been taught the riches of Christ by his mama. And so he has a choice. Over here is the lavish life, the riches of Egypt. Over here is the cause of Christ and the suffering that sometimes comes with it. And so he just esteems. He says, there's the treasures of Egypt. There's the kingdom of heaven. He sees it. I can go this way, or I can go that way. If I go here, I'll have this. If I go here, I'll have the riches of Christ. He said, I'm going that way. Now, when he said, I'm going that way, he had to turn his back on this way. He esteemed, he chose, he refused. Do you know why so many parents are failing today to get the kids to go right? They have never shown by precept and example the riches of Christ. And so they're saying, you don't belong in Egypt, son. Don't drink, don't smoke, don't carouse, don't do this, don't do that, don't. That's all they ever see. And then they say, there's no pleasure in Egypt. Well, that's a lie. There's a lot of pleasure in Egypt. Moses could have had a lavish life. But if you don't show your children by precept and example the riches of Christ, they're not going to believe you. How do you take a nasty bone away from a dog? You try and snatch it out of his mouth, you get bitten. But I'll tell you one thing. You lay a stake on the ground, he'll drop that bone. Isn't that right? What we've got to do is to show them the riches of the Lord Jesus Christ so that they can esteem and say, yes, that's what I want. Oh, how wonderful to have kids who have values. Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. The most powerful and influential people on the face of the earth are mothers and fathers of faith. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would teach us, Lord, as parents today, to believe you and to turn faith into action and to build into our children spiritual precepts and concepts that will see them through these desperate days. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, if you have questions about your faith or how to share it with your children in some desperate days, I want to invite you to go to our Discover Jesus page at lwf.org/radio. You'll find resources there and materials that can answer questions you may have about your faith. Now, if you'd like to order a copy of today's message on CD, call 1-877-LOVE-GOD and order a copy of Victory of a Mother's Prayer. You can also order online at lwf.org/radio. Or write to us. Our address is Love Worth Finding, Box 38600, Memphis, Tennessee, 38183. Well, thanks so much for joining us for today's message. Remember, as Adrian Rogers said, raise up a child and do not be afraid. Take a stand of faith. Claim your children for Jesus Christ. And be sure to join us next time for more profound truth simply stated right here on Love Worth Finding. A listener from Colombia wrote recently to offer a word of encouragement. I want to share it with you now. I am writing to you to thank you for such a tremendous ministry. Now I understand that Jesus is the real love worth finding, and that comforts me and gives me tranquility and assurance. Well, we are so honored to be able to offer these messages to our friends all around the world. We're only able to do that because of your generous support. If you want to get behind us right now, this month is a great time to do that. As a thank you for your gift, we want to send you our Build Your Faith booklet collection. This bundle includes 5 popular faith-centered messages like The Expedience of Obedience and Don't Be a Disgrace to Grace. We'll also include the Gospel of John. This pocket-sized book of the Bible can be used as a tool to share your faith with others. Request the bundle when you call with a gift right now at 1-877-LOVE-GOD.